Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, with all the stuff we've got right now to watch, without football even having started, Swamp Kings, the Bishop Sycamore, Doc coming out tonight, BS High, Hard Knocks, the Netflix docuseries, Jay, I don't know how we're going to add it. We're going to have to find a way. Former Golf Channel host Holly Saunders has launched a new sports league called Exposed Sports with a Z, and it promises some degree of nudity. Yes! You go, girl. Oh, that's a big fat sigh from you. Not excited, huh? Not a fan of boobies, huh?
Guess the same guys who will, you know, get an OnlyFans account will watch this. I do not have any OnlyFans accounts. I don't have a Pornhub account or whatever account, so not for me.
Okay. You do have to see her, though, if you didn't see it already, the promo video she shot playing golf in a white tank top. I mean, nipples so hard they could cut glass.
But I bet if you looked, she'd go, why are you sexualizing me?
No, she actually won't. Paige Spiranek, she might.
Okay.
Good evening, sir. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. Boy, do we have a plethora of good material to work from tonight. We got the good leads, the Glengarry leads. So I'm excited for that.
Always be selling.
Always be selling. Exactly right. That said, you want to start with a question for us, married guys. The floor is yours, my friend.
So I'm just wondering, do they ever leave? They're here all the time, the wives? Are they here? They don't leave? No? Nobody told me this. I thought I'd get like, you know, a week or two. By...
Are you married, Jay? May I ask? Okay, you are. Good. Mrs. Yes. Okay, yeah. So you
they don't guys, leave? They stay all the time?
They're here.
All the time.
I mean, it really does go back to the infamous line from Seinfeld by Kramer about marriage. What do you think about Jerry? Marriage? Remember that?
I can't. I hope you have the bite. I can't remember.
I do have the bite, and I'm going to play it for you. It's got to down. Got to download first, though. Hold on a second. Takes just a second. But yeah, I'm finding more and more every real life situation these days is essentially coming back to pretty much Curb Your Enthusiasm, Curb or Seinfeld or something like that. Man, it's giving me a hard time loading it up here. It'll be just.
I'm being funny.
You're being funny.
Absolutely wonderful. But I was like, wow, they never leave. They were just like to on Wednesday, she goes with her aunts and to her grandmother's and they eat. And I'm like, I'm by myself and I'm going to say it's one of my most enjoyable nights. But
there is a bit of a palpable relief, right?
But I'm saying, but they stay here all the time.
I have always believed that nobody needs quite as much proximity to somebody else as what marriage produces.
Okay. I'm happy.
I've always believed marriage is an inordinately high proximity endeavor, which I think successful couples figure out. You know, let each other roam around a bit. And not just during the day and during the week, but weekends as well. Let your girl go take a vacation with her girlfriends.
Oh, she does yoga on Sunday.
Perfect.
I love that.
Perfect. Love perfect. Here's the bite from Seinfeld.
I mean, what are you thinking about?
Oh, hold on a second. What the hell's going on there? Here we go. Here we go. The great Cosmo Kramer.
I mean, what are you thinking about, Jerry?
What the living? Oh, I know what it is. Okay, now one more try. How about three tries for a dollar, Jay? Will you give me that indulgence?
Yes.
I mean, what are you thinking about, Jerry? Marriage? Family?
Well,
they're prisons. Man-made prisons. You're doing time. You get up in the morning, she's there. You go to sleep at night, she's there. It's like you got to ask permission to use the bathroom. Yeah, and you can forget about watching TV while you're eating. Because it's dinner time. You know what you do at dinner?
What?
You talk about your day. How was your day today? Did you have a good day today or a bad day today? Well, what kind of day was it?
Well, I don't know. How about you? How was your day?
Boy, it's sad, Jerry. It's a sad state of affairs. I'm glad we had this talk.
Oh, you have no idea.
Wow. So there you go, Jay.
But this is pure. This is all comedy. But I found the secret to making, and I can't believe I waited till season 53 to finally figure this out. By the way, I hate that shit. He's in his 31st season. Shut the fuck up.
His age. How about his age? Insert age here. Season. That's the baseball way of doing it. His age, 28 season. So you're in season 53 of marriage. Yes.
You're
in season 53 of your life.
Of life, right. But it took me to season 53 to figure out the easiest thing is just have no ego in this. Just have no ego. Throw your ego out the door and everything will be happy. I just can't believe it took me this long to figure this out.
Yeah, well, so, while your ego's out the door, put pride in that box.
Bro, everything goes out.
Put your hobbies in that box. Independence in that box.
We were talking about family expenses, and she said, I'd like to do a budget. Now, me 10 years ago, I'd be like, what the fuck are you going to do a budget for? What? Now it's like, okay, knock yourself out. Just
did she not want you to sit side by side and collaborate on it?
No, she wanted to do it. She's in banking, so.
Did you look at the budget and go, yeah, nah, this ain't going to work for me. I'm going to need more top line spending here. I'm going to need more baseline spending there. We're eliminating this category.
Now, if for me on brand, it would have been one of your favorite skits. I don't like it.
I don't like it. I don't like this. Yeah. You want a really savage snippet about marriage? This one from Family Guy. Family Guy is the hard stuff. You know, that's the crack cocaine of comedy. It's not wrong. It's true. It's just a harder hit. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, can you imagine if you make $1 million? You'll be happier than a guy on his wedding day.
Thanks, everyone. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Dad. Goodbye, friends. Goodbye, free time. Farewell, sex. So long, golf on TV. I'll miss your privacy. Goodbye, being honest about how many beers I've had. Nice knowing you, my own choices. See you later, money.
Unbelievable. Anyway, mazel mazel on your ongoing nuptials, my friend.
There you go. There
you know, a coworker, colleague, sort of a satellite guy on our station in Milwaukee just got married. Beautiful gal. I think they're very happy together. I am happy for them. But something had come up along the way in which it was said to them by somebody else that I wasn't that much of an enthusiast on the institution of marriage. And I said, "No, come on, man." I said, "Look, everyone's got to try it at least once, right? See how it is, see how it fits, see how that sweater feels on you.
Take it off the block.
Right, yeah, exactly. Take it for a spin. It might work for you. I know couples that it does." That said, when they got married and they sent me the pictures of their wedding day and they were goading me into a response, I gave my best Dwight Schrutian, "It is your birthday, period," response by saying, "Congratulations on hardening your romantic Western courtship into a binding legal arrangement, period. May you have times together."
Ouch.
Too harsh. Too stripped of happiness and joy and everything else.
Just a tad.
Okay. All right. Hold, please, for just a second. Do you have a baseball score handy real quick?
0-0 Orioles. Did you hear the game in the background?
No, I did not. Now, the big story that I did yesterday on the podcast is that the Orioles team wants a dog. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Oh, come on, Jay. You're a dog owner. Let the baseball team have a dog.
Yeah, how about this? Let's get a
let's make the playoffs.
Another starting pitcher, maybe. How about that? You know, maybe another short relief guy, preferably a left hander.
Okay.
I just, as a dog lover, I don't. But I don't like when they have the dogs at the stadiums. I just think something's going to happen bad always. So I'm like, let's just not do this. But I guess because they're having dog night, like in 2 weeks,
right?
And
dog days of summer.
Mrs. Cottrell was like, "Let's bring Buck and Myron." I'm like, "Let's not.
Oh,
that's just something waiting to happen. Jay. No, that's just something waiting to happen. Nope."
Jay, you have a baseball team that has outperformed everyone's expectations. They are young. They are frisky. They are exciting. The ballpark is finally alive. You own dogs. God's very proof that he loves us, that he created such amazing creatures.
And you're going to go,
"Pleh, I'm not bringing them to the ballpark." Fuck you. I'll bring him to the ballpark. Give me your wife's number. I'll contact her.
I don't want anything to
happen.
Hit them. I don't want another dog rushing them.
Oh, no. My God.
I know. I'm a big wussy. I know. I'm that parent. I'm not bringing my kid to the park. What if they fell on a rusty nail?
Well, as long as you're up to date on your tetanus shots, then it'll just be a nasty flesh wound is what it'll be. Okay, so while we're on the Orioles, I had to send you this because a lot of O's fans are pissed off to the moon hearing John Angelos, the guy that suspended your good young broadcaster, Kevin Brown, and then didn't have the balls to say, "Yeah, I suspended him, and here's why," made him read a hostage statement, basically, to cover his ass. He did an interview recently and said the following: the Orioles' $70 million payroll this year is 28th out of 30 teams. It's largely a function of the players' lack of service time, which limits their earning power as the particular wrinkle of the economy of baseball. Angelos has a lot of qualms with that system. Quote, "The hardest thing to do in sports is to be a small market team in baseball and be competitive because everything is stacked against you." Everything, he says. And he conceded that it might not be feasible for his popular young core to be career Orioles like Brooks Robinson or Jim Palmer, hun, or Cal Ripken Jr. Without major changes, he sees only one way the team could retain all of its young stars. Quote, we're going to have to raise the prices here dramatically. Jay, the floor is yours.
Don Angelos is an asshat, first of all. He's Daniel Snyder now. He's the worst owner in the area. And that, you know, that's a title you don't want to have.
No.
So I have been telling Oriole fans, I know they keep going, oh, it's impossible. I am the one who's saying he's going to fucking move this team because here's why. He's already doing it, and he's already setting everyone up now. I just don't have the money. We're a small market team. But his wife is either a country singer or a country producer who would like to spend a lot of time in Nashville. And before any one of you assholes, yeah, tell Jay the 27 out of 30 major league teams. I know that. But these are lawyers and rich men. They do whatever the hell they want to do. They can circumvent anything. So this is my back of my mind. He's setting us up for the sell or the movement to Nashville, which is one of the places Major League Baseball wants to go to. The second one, he wants to have around Oriole Park and Camden Yards, a Atlanta Braves style complex where they have shopping, they have restaurants. He wants it that people will come there all the time, even on non-game days. It's pretty stupid because the area is literally run up against a highway.
Yeah, up against the highway. Yeah. The Inner Harbor is not far away, but there's not a lot to do there. They used to have a ESPN Sports Zone there that closed.
Yes. But he wants this literally around the Camden Yards area. There's a horseshoe casino not that far, a stone's throw away.
I've been to it.
He just wants to redevelop. He's trying to shake the city down, basically, because he's yet to sign a lease. The lease is up in December of this year.
At Camden Yards?
Yeah, and he is yet to sign a lease. And we have a new governor.
Oh my God!
We have a mayor who's an idiot.
Can you imagine the best ballpark, arguably of the new ballparks in the majors going empty?
Yes, because John Angelos is that guy, a-hole. And I'm texting you something, and I'm not sure if it's either him or his brother. There was a situation once in Cuba. And I'm texting you what happened because I don't want to tell. I don't want everyone to hear.
All right.
There you go.
Oh, really?
And I remember this story from beat writers sitting around one day talking about it. It's either him or his brother, and let's just say someone had to intervene and grease the channels.
Okay. Well, pretty soon that thing that you said he might have had, which could have got
him with brother,
which could have got him in some serious legal trouble. Pretty soon that'll be legal. So it'll be no big deal.
Yes, that's true. Is it really? That's going to be legal. Okay. All right. Okay.
Well, maybe pretty soon is a bit much, but where's the ball going to stop rolling downhill?
That's true. That's a good point.
All right. That said, you're going to have to beat the Brewers to Nashville. Because that's a hot rumor and a bit of a fear in Milwaukee. Because the Brewers are being told if the county doesn't pony up $484 million for stadium upgrades, then they're going to be out of compliance with their lease and they will be subject to leaving town. Many of us are like, fucking Miller Park / American Family Field is really nice. It's fine. It's not that old. What do you mean $484 million? That's more than the thing cost when you built it. Oh, well, you know, the roof needs maintenance, you know, because it opens and closes. And the speaker system's expensive. We got to upgrade that. And we have to do some of the inner work. And okay. So far in the back of my envelope, I'm up to $92 million. Where's the rest?
It's sort of like people who have dogs and you will see them oh, we've got to rehome our dog because we have a new baby coming or we're moving. Don't buy a dog. Don't own a team if you aren't going to just spend to win. I hate that.
Right. Well, they want to run it like a business. This baseball teams are unlike NFL owners who get this incredible billionaire boner by being one of 32 owners of these gem teams. 31, actually. Packers don't have one. And NBA owners are so rich, it's a fucking toy to them. And because of the CBA and because players, there's only 12 players on a team, it's not that expensive. Baseball is both expensive as shit because of the players. You got no caps. You got to spend with the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Red Sox all the time. And the players you buy, Jay, quite often don't make a fucking difference. Have you seen Juan Soto's numbers in San Diego right now?
I was just going to say, look at San Diego, a medium to small market team who spent like drunken sailors on leave. And it didn't work out, and they're probably going to hit a reset and do it again because it's not about making money. It's about winning. So that's what – that's I even though I
well, did, even but though
I
they,
didn't dislike him, even though I didn't like him that much, George Steinbrenner is like it's perfect. He was like, I'll do whatever it takes to win. I kind of would like that in an owner. I liked when Peter Angelos spent money from like 93 to 99 on anybody. And there was fun times. Camden Yards was packed. Then they just said, oh, no, we got to stop spending now.
Juan Soto, when he was 21 and 22, had OPS numbers of 1185 and 999. Are you fucking kidding me? Then he gets traded in the 2022 season. And since being there in San Diego, his OPS is pretty pedestrian, 778 and 884. He's a 259 hitter. He's run into a big slump. He is not the difference maker that he once was. I don't get it. Baseball should translate. It's 60 feet, 6 inches. Plate is 18 inches wide, Jay.
Yeah.
In San Diego, as it is in Washington.
Yeah, 60 feet, yes. Yes, it plates the same.
Go figure.
90 feet, yeah.
All right. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Turning to the NFL. Boy, do I got a couple candidates for fuck that guy. But let me start with Randall Cobb. Good thing he's buddies with Aaron Rodgers, because Randall Cobb would be the kind of guy you'd get into a fight with over discussions like this. On Hard Knocks, don't know if you saw this or not, they caught Cobb telling the fellow receivers, hey man, It's not good enough. And the boss is going to be pissed if you don't pick it up. Did you see the episode? Did you see the bite I'm talking about?
I did not see it. No.
Okay. Randall Cobb talking to his fellow Jets wide receivers.
What do you guys think, man? Honest opinion of today.
I was just talking to 12 or 8, and he was just telling me, you know, we had a lot of mistakes in our room today. Just basic stuff. Little things. Right?
Yeah, like you calling him 12 still. There's a little mistake for you, douchebag.
We can't have that. And it's all cool right now, but I'm telling you, one day he's going to lose his shit. It's going to happen if it continues to go the way it's going right now. Because if he don't trust you, he's not going to throw you the ball. I can promise you that. If he don't trust you, he don't not like throwing interceptions. So if he can't trust that you're going to run the right route, he's not going to throw it. It's just a matter of time. Continue to work and stay in your book and stay locked in so we can get to where we want to go.
Wow. How about that, guy? Hey. Hey, my buddy, the boss, oh, he's going to be pissed, man. You guys better step it up. Randall Cobb at 34, who played 13 games last year because he's perennially hurt, had 32 catches and one touchdown. Imagine being a young guy looking at this guy going, what the fuck are you saying? I'm glad you're buddies with him, but you know, if he has a problem with a route I ran today in practice, I don't know, maybe he should point it out. Instead of just sit there and seethe while you go, well, it's cool now, but he's going to lose his shit at some point. Randall Cobb.
By the way, you have another dick on the Packers. I saw the clip of, I think it was the first preseason game.
Jaire Alexander?
And there was a player hurt, and the opposing team's trainer went in to look at him. And oh. Some dick D-back from the Packers pushed him while he was in there.
Oh, that was Quay Walker. Quay Walker's
an asshole. He's an asshole.
Well, he did it twice last year, including in the final game of the year at home got him ejected. It got a key penalty late in the game. Yeah.
Well, he's got some issues.
Like that is total screw loose kind of stuff where you get triggered by another team's trainer to go in there. He's been much better this year. And so therefore they're saying he's made progress during the whole joint practices with the Patriots. He was nowhere near all the fights. They had like 6 fights in their joint practice the week before the game. Oh, by the way, you know how the coaches were saying, oh, these joint practices are way better than preseason games. We get to work on just what we want to work on. It's controlled. This is the wave of the future. And then teams start canceling joint practices left and right because there's too many fucking fights. So I guess that's now old and busted instead of hot and fresh.
Yeah, because I saw the Ravens had some joint, and all they were doing was fighting with the Redskins. Sorry, yeah. The Commanders. There was like 4 or 5 fights. Yeah,
your tight end, I believe, separated a shoulder of a DB after the whistle, slamming him to the ground.
Yes, that was a. And you said your? Are you kidding me? Your? Really? Oh, sorry. Have you not met me? Thank you.
All right, Steeler boy. All right. That said, in San Francisco today on Wednesday, drama is bubbling up because apparently Sam Bradford, the square-headed, vacant-eyed, dipshit quarterback, formerly of the Jets, who we know cannot play.
I think you just went to the wrong team. Sam Bradford.
Twice, might have, including Carolina?
I think he was shell-shocked by that point from taking so many hits. I'm just speculating.
Do you remember Sam Bradford
might have been good.
Do you remember when Bradford said, I'm seeing ghosts out there, and they caught it on NFL Films on the mic'd-up portion?
Yeah, that right he's getting there. Sacked 13 times a game.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is when Jay's USC bias comes through.
How am I USC? I'm just saying Bradford might have been a better quarterback if he would have been. Are you saying Bradford or Darnold? I'm sorry. You said Bradford.
Oh, shit. Did I say
Darnold? God. Yeah, that's okay. Sam Darnold.
I'm sorry.
Okay, see, no, this is where my bias is not coming in.
Okay.
I don't think Sam Darnold's a quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, he's not good.
Bradford.
Great in college, not good.
Sam Bradford played at Oklahoma.
Yes, I thought that's who you're talking about. I was like, Sam Bradford's still in the league? Sam Darnold, no, USC, not that good.
So Sam Darnold's got the backup nod in San Fran. So today, Wednesday, guess who did not show up for the final day of training camp? Trey Lance, the former 4th overall pick and a guy the Niners traded up heavily to go get because they were so sure he was the guy. Now, here's this guy, Grant Cohn. Are you familiar with him?
I think I didn't. Was he the one that got into it with a player last year?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Alden Smith.
It's a millennial trying to make a name for himself. There we go. Okay. All right.
His bio says quality control for the Niners, publisher of All 49ers FN, part of Fan Nation on SI.com. Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
About that?
Okay, fine. That said, it doesn't make him wrong. It doesn't make him worth listening to. Listen to his theory on how this all went
49ers
down.
49ers training camp just ended, and you don't give a damn what happened on the field. You want to know about Trey Lance. He wasn't here. Last day of training camp, he wasn't here. This was right after news broke that he's going to be the number three quarterback and that Sam Darnold will be the number two. So, what does that mean? Here's my interpretation. Yesterday, we asked Kyle Shanahan who the number two quarterback would be, and he said pretty much he doesn't want to make up his mind until right before the game, and some weeks it could be Sam, and some weeks it could be Trey. I'm guessing the agent who represents both Sam and Trey, probably, I'm guessing he called up Kyle and said, nah, you can't have both. Pick one. Freaking pick one and don't embarrass the other one. So Kyle said, okay, I'm picking Sam. And so the agent said, okay, cool. Trey. And I'm guessing that, and I just said, okay. So they probably have some offer, some really crappy offer in hand, maybe a 6th round pick. And that's why Trey isn't out here, because he can't get hurt. God forbid you get him hurt while you're trying to trade him. And they tell the rest of the league, hey, he's here. We're open for business. Come trade for Trey, who we think is worse than Sam Darnold. And give us something more than a 6th round pick. And they'll wait till the end of the week. And they probably won't get anything more than that. And they'll end up trading him somewhere for nothing.
He's not wrong about this fucking dynamic, you know?
And that organization
can
get a 23-year-old.
He keeps saying, I'm guessing. That means you have no inside knowledge and you don't have one source. But I'm guessing.
Well, what source is going to say this is what?
I'm guessing Halle Berry wants to have sex with me at some point. I can say that.
All right.
I'm guessing.
At this point, with Darnold being named the two, and with Lance not showing up, and with the two of them sharing an agent, this sounds quite plausible. And I know this, you ain't going to get shit for Trey Lance now, because his 5th year of his contract.
It is contract year. Yeah.
It's contract year, and it jumps up significantly. So any team trading for him has to eat a pretty big number, although relatively speaking for quarterbacks, it's pretty cheap, and then hope that they can rehabilitate him. Now, I don't know if he can play or not, but I know this. He's been fucking injured. And so he really hasn't been given a long glide path to prove what he can do. The Niners are fucking this up.
You pick who's improving for nothing. So good for that team. Seattle should do it. If I were Seattle, I'd call up the Niners right now. I don't think Trey Lance is ever going to wear a Niner uniform ever again. Let's see. But that's okay, because they have Sam Darnold, who's way better. And today he rewarded the 49ers' confidence by going 4 of 8, because Trey couldn't do that. Only Sam Darnold and his veteran savviness could go 4 of 8. And sure, Trey went 4 of 8 yesterday, but it's the way that Sam Darnold went 4 of 8 today.
You getting exhausted?
Yeah, because Sam Darnold and not a great thinking quarterback. Throws a lot of dumb passes through a lot of windows he shouldn't. I saw it for 3 years or 2 years. So this guy thinking, you know, Sam Darnold is Tom Brady. Yeah, that's not the case.
No. You're mishearing this guy, Grant Cohn.
I know what he's saying. He's saying.
No, he's mocking it. He's mocking it, is what he is.
So much more poised and mature and smart and, I don't know, any stupid other words you could give to differentiate. I don't understand what Sam Darnold did to win this job. Brock Purdy, though, doesn't matter, because he's a real deal. He went 11 of 12 today. He completed all of his dinks, all of his dunks. He was dinking to the left. He was dunking to the right. Man, he was putting his little foot in there and doing the hokey pokey and waving it all about, because that's what 49ers football is all about. And Ronnie Bell threw a touchdown pass. Watch for Ronnie Bell. He's starting to play with the starters. Goodbye, Trey.
I'm sorry, but I think he's spot on with this. They have fucked this up in San Francisco. They really have. And, of course, everyone was praising old John Lynch. What a great GM he is. Not on this. They've made a huge swing and a miss. Okay, what else is in my rundown with you to talk about here?
A death in wrestling. We can.
Sad to hear about the passing of the great Terry Funk.
Funk, yes.
Wrestling legend who helped change the way matches were done and was loved and respected by all in the wrestling world. Who is Terry Funk? Who was Terry Funk? And how did he change the way matches were, quote, done?
Because he started, he was called, he was like the king of the hardcore. He was one, he would do the strap matches, the barbed wire matches. Legendary in the South. He had a brother, Dory Funk, the Funk Brothers. And he would literally do anything, bleed disgustingly. there's like a Mount Rushmore of tough guys in wrestling, like legitimately guys who whip ass, and Terry Funk was always in that discussion.
Wow.
Like, don't fuck with Terry Funk.
Yeah. Okay. So he was the guy that really pioneered that edgy, dangerous shit that would make you actually bleed. Show yes. red to get the green, as the saying goes in
wrestling. That's right. Terry, I thought he was getting, because I know he had an illness. I thought he was getting better, but 79. That's a good run, right?
You know, nobody ever makes a big deal when a wrestler makes it to 79, especially a guy who did all the dangerous shit that you're not supposed to do. All they do is they highlight when a wrestler dies at 39. Ah, see, Vince is killing these guys at a young age. Literally, you could look at the entire run of wrestlers who worked for Vince McMahon, and the distribution of deaths would be higher than the average population. Guaranteed. They're richer. They get better health care. They have more reason to be in shape. Yes, some of them OD on coke or steroids or whatever. But you go look at the whole run of it, I'm telling you. The same in the NFL, Jay. NFL players live longer than the average population. Nobody wants to believe that. It is factually true.
Mazel, Terry Funk, 79. Huge in Japan, by the way, too. I forgot.
Oh, the Japanese love that violent shit.
They that's why they loved him and Abdullah the Butcher.
Yeah.
They gave him what they want. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look what they did in World War II.
So,
oh, I'm sorry. Guess too soon, huh? Too soon on World War II resets? Did anyone see how savagely and how ruthlessly the Japanese fought back in World War II?
By the way, let's be honest. If we didn't do that, they were going to keep on fighting till the last.
Absolutely.
Was living.
Right. We were like,
have you seen Oppenheimer yet, by the way? Have you seen that?
No, I need to.
You should. Yeah.
I need to.
Two things I'd like to sell you on. The Oppenheimer movie, which is really good, but it's 3 hours. And the Bo Jackson book by Ron Perlman. Is it Ron? No, Jeff Perlman.
Jeff Perlman. Okay. You're Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Jeff Perlman. Very good book.
I will see Oppenheimer when it comes out on DVD. Here's why. I've given up on theaters. Literally.
I think you can get it on demand at your house.
Given up.
Now.
Okay. Well, but of course, I don't want to stream it. My streaming is not that robust. I would pay for the Blu-ray. At least I then have it. I can give it to somebody else, watch it again, see some of the extras. But here's the thing. I went to a theater before I went on vacation with my daughter because she was all keen to see. Oh, what was the movie?
Barbie.
No, it's not Barbie. It was a different movie. Whatever. I took a nap like most of the movies she wants me to go see with her, which is great. It was a really fucking disappointing experience. The seats were all worn out. Fabric was worn out. The ass cushions were crushed under the weight of obese America. That includes you, fatty. Okay, shut up. The temperature was at least 5 degrees too warm, not comfortable. There was a faint odor. The screen was not even that clear. I was distracted by the giant red exit sign that was mandatorily posted just to the left of the screen. And people are rude, loud, obnoxious, don't give a shit about anybody else, assholes. That's it. I'm out. The exhibitors, Jay, the movie theater business, big screen, as I call them, they had their day. They had their chance. I'm out.
That's true. That day is over because I ain't going to a theater.
Okay. One more before we get to FTG. Colin Cowherd has done it again, Jay. How does he get some things like this wrong? I know I made a mistake earlier in the show today when I called Sam Darnold, Sam Bradford, repeatedly to the point where it completely confused you. I still don't think as bad as the stuff that Colin Cowherd uncorks after supposedly hours of prep and a staff of who knows how many for a television show. Here he was talking about why he does not see Geno Smith holding up the AFC championship trophy over Mahomes or Burrow.
Now, that gives you 14, and I think I'm being diplomatic. I don't think Geno Smith is ever going to hold the trophy up. But I think Seattle's got the coach. They're too young, in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl. But I do think they could win a division in multiple playoff games. I don't see Geno holding up the AFC Championship, you know, trophy over a Mahomes or a Burrow.
Hey, my hands up. You probably didn't see Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, right, winning a Super Bowl, what, like six, 7 years ago?
Well, you've got two dolts working together. Jason McIntyre is also a dolt. So dolt plus dolt equals...
A couple things. One, yes, the Seahawks used to be in the AFC. Like, last were there in 88, maybe? I'd have to look it up. It's been
a
minute.
They've been there long enough that a guy who has a national radio show should know that Geno Smith plays in the NFC. And his co-host should have gone, well, Colin, you know, he does play in the NFC.
Right.
But he's a dolt also.
Well, so more on that in a second. First of all, if Colin Coward is ripping along at 85 miles an hour, and said AFC, not NFC. Like, I just don't see him winning an AFC title anytime soon. I mean, they're a good team, and I like his comeback story, but I don't think they get the pieces around him. Now, while we're talking about the Niners for a second, if he had done that, that's a simple slip of the tongue gaffe, right? But you come back and say, I don't see him holding the trophy up over Mahomes or Burrow to definite AFC quarterbacks, which should have cemented in his mind, wait a minute, would the Seahawks play those guys in their own conference? The answer would have been no. That's what makes it so stunning. You can't blame it on your production staff, like the whole, I don't think that Dwayne Haskins can win a Super Bowl gaffe, which he has not acknowledged. And it's just literally, there's something wrong with Coward. Or he's trying to do this on purpose. These are egregious gaffes to me.
But people will call you a hater, Zabe, and if you point that out, so, you know, you just wish you're him.
He's giving him more money, more. He's important. You're doing a fucking podcast with the guy who used to be in radio. But guess what? Exactly. The other part is his little buddy, Jason McIntyre, didn't dare correct him, did he?
No, because
you know,
he's scared to death.
You know that's an edict.
Yeah.
Don't ever correct Colin. Even when he's grievously wrong, don't do it. Man, I guess people do anything for the money.
Maybe you and Andy can kick this around, but we worked with two people who swear that they were the ones who discovered Colin. And I want to punch them both in the face because you did this, and he's awful. So, you know. Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's too many people in the biz, too many PDs who want to be able to say, I took credit for this guy. I found this guy. So I'm going to promote this guy. So they take wild swings and misses all the time on guys they think that'd be the next big thing because that's going to be a big feather in their PD cap. No, they don't have royalties or rights to these guys. It's not like Frosty's getting a residual from Colin Coward's checks because he worked with him in Portland back in the day, right?
Yeah. Yes, and the guy I know, he worked with him at ESPN.
Yeah,
I'm like, how did you discover him at ESPN? He was already there. You didn't do anything.
Well,
whatever.
All right, time to wrap this up. What?
Okay. I have two, but I don't know what you would call it, but I have a listener who typed something back to a listener and dunked on him, and I was like, oh. This is the best. So I have a FTG and a way to go. Can I get that?
Let's go. Get it in. You got a minute.
Okay. Well, my way to go is, so I don't know. I didn't listen to your show today, but I was like, let me see what people are saying. And of course, at Reddit Street, as you'd like to call it, or Reddit Avenue.
Man, them streets are mean. Nasty.
They're most of them dicks.
Dangerous.
So one guy said, I guess you were talking about politics, I guess?
Yes, today. Yesterday.
And some guy, voicing your opinion is one thing. Constantly bashing others who don't go your way is childish. And the guy says, there's some irony in saying this on Reddit. I was like, oh my God.
Ga-dong!
This dude gets it. Yes. Yeah. You bitch all day, but then you hate when Zabin bitches about, shut the fuck up. My FTG, though, is, and I didn't have one until like 20 minutes ago.
Oh boy.
And I was looking at former shows, I was like, oh man, I got to come up with something. All right, so there is, he calls himself One Percenter, I'm guessing. I guess because he's funny. I don't know.
No, he's 1%er describes people who are such as Abe loyalists.
One half percent. That's his. Okay. That's his name. And it's a tag, really. It's a Stephen and Jay already being a dick because nobody calls you Stephen unless your mom. And I say this with all the disappointment your sainted mothers would use if they had caught both of you doing something vile and disgusting. He's talking about the fucking funk draft. And it's just like, again. But he's just.
Do your own draft.
That's what I'm saying. Percenter. You go to Radio Shack. I know there's no Radio Shack. Get some podcast equipment and do your own draft.
So to that guy,
shut the fuck up. Yes.
You say.
Fuck that guy and shut the fuck up.
I really hate your ass right now.
Exactly. Nice post.
So my FTG goes to one Ed Werder, who seems like the nicest guy possible. Laid off from ESPN, covering like the Cowboys beat like three times. Now does his own thing, whatever. He tweeted about the clip of Brandon Cooks, wide receiver, who was piloting several of his teammates around in his small, light, single-engine propeller plane. He's a licensed pilot. And Werder's take was, I don't think his team would be happy about that, you know. Could be prohibited as a dangerous activity in his contract. Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. Black man can't fly a plane now, is that it? Do you know Ed fucking Werder? What he was doing was, I'm sure, safer than driving! He wasn't wing walking, you dipshit! He's a licensed pilot with a requisite number of flight hours, and he took his guys for a ride. Jesus, you're such a Karen, and then you try to tattle on him. Fuck that guy. All right, Jay, as always, a great run, great time, great talking to you. Have a good weekend, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.